Welcome to episode number 26 of the First Responder Wellness Podcast, the show where we talk about wellness, mental health, leadership, and what it takes to have a wellness culture within your organization. My name is Conrad Weaver, and I hope you are staying connected with the people around you. You know, sometimes when we're struggling, we tend to isolate, but we're designed for connection. So my encouragement for you today is to stay connected. A few weeks ago, we had the president of the International Conference of Police Chaplains on the program to talk about what police chaplaincy looks like. Well, today, I have Dr. Jeffrey Gallagher on the program. Reverend Gallagher is an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ and has served several churches in Maine and Connecticut for over 20 years. He's also the chaplain of the Toland Fire Department and the lead chaplain for the Connecticut State Police. We talk about how he got involved in chaplaincy work and how that has impacted his life personally and the lives of those he serves. Stay tuned for this informative, boots-on-the-ground conversation. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I know you're busy, and there's so many podcasts out there, so I appreciate you taking time to listen to this one. I'm also grateful for everyone who's joining us on YouTube. Thanks for watching, and thanks for helping us grow that channel. We're reaching more and more people, and we're really excited about that. So be sure to subscribe no matter what channel you watch or listen from. This really helps us get the word out to more people about the program. And if you could do me a favor, if you appreciate this program, please take a minute to rate and review the show. This would mean the world to me and will help us get the word out to more and more people. Thanks again for listening and watching. And now here's my conversation with Chaplain Jeffrey Gallagher. Well, Jeffrey, welcome to the First Responder Wellness Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being asked to be on. Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, good. So tell me a little bit about where you're at and how you are involved with first responders.
Yeah, so I am located in Toland, Connecticut. I'm an ordained minister. I've been an ordained minister serving in the church for about 20 years now. First served up in Maine and am now serving down here in Connecticut, where I've been for about 10 years. And it was about 7 years ago that I got involved with first responders. I started with my local fire department here in Toland, Connecticut, and shortly thereafter began to serve as chaplain with the Connecticut State Police. So I've been serving as chaplain in both of those roles for about 6 or 7 years now.
Okay, so you haven't worked in the first responder community as a responder yourself, so what led you to kind of explore that idea of working with the first responders in your community?
Yeah, no, actually, it wasn't an idea I had explored, to be honest with you. I came here to Connecticut, and sadly, there was a fatal accident in town just up the street from my church. And I knew the fire chief, and he came and asked me if I would come up to the scene and spend some time with the first responders who were on the scene, and then sadly go and tell the family of the deceased that their loved one had passed away. And so I did that and found the work that I did that day to be really meaningful. And I think our chief did as well. And he shortly thereafter asked me if I would be willing to become their chaplain and become an actual part of the department, and was honored to do so.
Mm-hmm. So, as a minister, as a pastor, you are probably confronted with death a lot with people in your church or in your community. So, how was that experience new or different for you by being on scene on a location versus, you know, someone who perhaps dies in a hospital or in other ways?
Yeah, I think for me, up until that point, most of the death that I had seen had been, you know, for the most part expected. You know, someone was passing away in hospice care, or they had lived a long life and, you know, kind of were coming towards the end of their life. Or if it was a more tragic death, I wouldn't see it until after the family had had some time to process. So to be on scene with the first responders who were just discovering what had happened as they were beginning to process and go through their own emotions. And then obviously, as I went to see the family and then to help them begin to process some of their emotions was very different for me. And actually allowed me to use a skill set that I didn't realize that I had, but I found that I could offer some comfort in those really high emotion, high intensity situations. And while I can't say that I enjoy the work. It's meaningful to be able to provide people a little bit of comfort in those really, really difficult moments.
Mm-hmm. How easy was it to kind of assimilate into a fire department and kind of get the respect or the trust from those first responders that you work with?
So that was a challenge, I'll be honest with you. You know, I think first responders are by nature not necessarily the most trusting to outsiders. As you said, I didn't have a background in first responding at all. And so I was a new person. I'm a minister, so kind of a foreign concept to many of them. And so it took a long time, I'll be honest. It took a lot of my being present, trying to be as available as I could, both on scenes and off scene, to, you know, stop by the fire station, to stop by the police station, to, you know, get to know them in a little bit less of a intense moments, those kind of things, in order to be able to let them know who I was, that I was trustworthy, and really then to begin to show up on some of the scenes of some of the calls so that they understood that I began to understand what their life was like, that I was seeing and experiencing some of the same things that they were. So they knew that they could trust me, because they didn't have to explain what they were going through, because they knew that I knew, because I had been there with them. But that all took some time, I'll be honest. It takes some time to for people to trust and to understand that, you know, what's shared with me is confidential, and that, you know, I'm a safe space where they can be honest and open and vulnerable, and that's not going to go back to, you know, any of the command staff or any of their chiefs or whoever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. In your, I guess, preparation or work toward, you know, kind of earning their trust, are there some things that you did? Did you take some classes? Did you get some training on how to do this kind of work?
Yeah, so I took a class with the Federation of Fire Chaplains in essentially basics to fire chaplaincy. That was really helpful, both understanding my role, but really beginning to understand some of the nuances of the fire culture, and understanding what makes first responders tick and what makes them a little bit different from some of the rest of the you know, the population. I think what was probably the most beneficial, though, was when I was approached by the chief to ask if I would be the chaplain. I said, you know, that I didn't really want to be a banquet chaplain. I didn't want to be someone who showed up and prayed over the, you know, the yearly Christmas dinner or, you know, holiday party, but that I really wanted to be a part of the department and really wanted to show up and to be on scene and to provide support in real time. And I think it was that work of really just kind of learning the job on the, you know, on the fly as it was coming to me, that was probably the most beneficial.
So were you able to then do some, perhaps even do some ride-alongs with them and jump on a truck and go on a call with them? Is that something you do, or do you just show up on scene?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little bit of both. So, you know, the police and the fire culture are a little bit different, mm-hmm. As you well know. So with the fire department, I have a radio and I'm able to essentially respond to calls as I see fit, as if it sounds like they may be in need of myself, if it's, you know, sounds like someone has passed away or a bad accident or a fire, I will usually respond. And if I don't, they will usually give me a call and ask me to, you know, come down to the scene. But they're also very willing to have me hang out at the station, to ride along with them, to, you know, spend a morning. And if there happen to be calls, to, you know, jump on a truck and go to whatever the call may be, even if it isn't a call that I normally would have gone to. You know, the police is a little bit different. You know, with them, I get called out. I don't have a radio. I don't, you know, self-deploy, if you will, on those calls. But I've done a bunch of ride-alongs with them as well. And I think, you know, it's interesting to spend, you know, a few hours in a car with someone where you're, you know, right next to each other and, you know, talking and driving around. And, you know, you really get to know someone. And I think, again, they get to, you know me, trust me, and understand that, you know, I'm just trying to be a resource, just trying to offer what support I can to them, as well as to the public that they're encountering.
What were some of those key moments for you where perhaps you saw where that trust was developing and they were able to open up or they were able to share some things? What were the things that happened that kind of led that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I think, you know, experiencing some traumatic scenes definitely, you know, opened the door. But then I think what really was the most beneficial was, you know, you interact with them on scene and you know, they have a job to do on scene, right? They're processing the evidence, or they're dealing with the, you know, the victims, or, you know, the car after the accident. It's when I started getting the phone calls or the texts after, you know, saying, hey, can we get a cup of coffee, or, you know, or even just a text at night and said, you know, just checking in. And you could tell that they were just looking for a little bit of guidance or a little bit of support. And as those texts and calls began to come in, I realized that, okay, I'm starting to gain some trust here. They're starting to understand that I'm a safe space, and maybe can offer them a little bit of support. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's it's a meaningful thing to do. And as someone who serves people and serves others, when you can be of benefit to someone, that means a lot. In the police work, there's a whole different, you know, ball game there in some respects.
Yeah.
I've had those moments in the police car doing ride alongs where you do get to know someone and things happen. And,
right.
So how much different is that than doing something with the fire service where they're kind of hanging out at the fire station?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think, you know, the police, they tend to, you know, obviously they're driving around, they're kind of looking for things to do. And I think, you know, when I'm there, I think they feel like they have to, you know, kind of create some work. So we'll do some traffic stops and those kind of things, just so I think they feel like they're, you know, giving me a little bit of an experience while I'm out there. But, you know, obviously with the fire department, it's a little different. You know, you're in the station, you're kind of hanging out, maybe you're having lunch around the table, and then all of a sudden, you know, the alarm goes off and you go from 0 to 60 in about, you know, 3 seconds. So it's definitely a different culture. I think, you know, not to say that both aren't on all the time and ready to go, but there's kind of a different level of intensity, I think, as you kind of experience both experiences. Mm-hmm.
In the agencies that you work with, that you serve, do you think there is an openness to have discussions about wellness and mental health and those kind of issues?
Yeah, I do. I do very much so. I think, you know, I think my position in the fire department was new, you know, and I think we've opened up the door to conversations about wellness, about mental health. You know, we now have an established peer team, you know, that I helped to get going. So we have a number of us in the department who are available, you know, on call at any time for anyone to reach out to. And so we've had conversations around, you know, reaching out to us if there are difficult, you know, things going on, whether it's in their personal life or something that they've experienced on the job. We have a combination department, so it's both paid and volunteer. So, you know, whether it's from their volunteer work or their paid work, you know, so we've had that, you know, opportunity to, to broach that subject through the peer team and some other presentations that we've had. We've also, you know, created a good relationship with the EAP. We have, you know, a number of counselors that we've vetted who understand what it's like to work with first responders. And so, you know, helping them to understand that when you go to this counselor, they understand what a first responder is and what a first responder does. And that it's not going to be one of those moments where they kind of overwhelm a counselor, which we know has happened. You know, they go in, they share what's happened, and the counselor is overwhelmed by what they've heard from the, you know, from the first responder. With the state police that I work with, there was an established chaplaincy program already. So I'm one of a number of chaplains that work in the state of Connecticut. I will say, though, that in the last few years, we really have put a bigger emphasis on wellness in all its forms, and the chaplaincy piece being one component of, you know, officer wellness. And we've gotten some real support from some of the, you know, the leadership in the agency who really understand that mental health is important. And I think, you know, the newer recruits that are coming out, especially out of the police academy, we're seeing that there's an openness to mental health, to talking, to seeking resources that I don't think we would have seen 10 or 15 years ago. It's definitely a culture shift.
Mm-hmm. And along with that openness to wellness, is there an openness to things of faith? Is that, you know, how does that play a role in what you do in your conversations with these folks?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think chaplaincy, I think, is often misunderstood. You know, I am a minister. That's my day job. You know, obviously, so faith is important to me. But when I respond on scene or when I'm working with any of the first responders, it is about their emotional support first, you know, and really it's about their own health and wellness. If they want to talk matters of faith or spirituality, we are certainly open to do that. And I will do that with certain responders. But I also respect that there are those for whom faith is not important. And so it's not about, you know, pushing faith or, you know, trying to get someone to believe or to attend my church or to convert or anything like that. It's really about being present with them and meeting them where they're at. And so that if, you know, we're talking about something that's happened and a, you know, a question of spirituality comes up, you know, I'm certainly happy to, you know, have that conversation with them, but never in a way that would force them to go somewhere that they didn't want to go.
Mm-hmm. You know, thinking of the life that Jesus did and the stories that he and the people he hung out with and the places he went to minister to people, you know, he went to the home of Martha and Mary. Their brother Lazarus had just died, and he was there serving them and helping them. It's kind of this kind of role that you're in kind of speaks to that in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jesus, you know, ministered to everyone and met people where they are. And I think, you know, in many respects, that's what I try to do as well. Not, you know, to you know, get on scene or be with someone, try to get a sense of what emotion they're feeling, however they're processing whatever's going on or whatever they want to talk about. And then just trying to walk with them through that difficult scene, you know, or difficult situation. You know, it's hard. I don't always have all the answers. You know, there's bigger questions of faith and life that, you know, I'm not privy to understand. But I think being a safe space where folks can ask those questions, where they can feel like those questions are okay. And that even if I don't have the answer, that I'll sit with them as they explore them. And I, you know, I will sit in the difficult scene or the difficult situation with them just so that they know that they're not alone. And I think in many respects, you know, if you look at Jesus, that's the model that he had as well.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that you wish you'd have known earlier on that now with the years of experience that you've had that you wish you'd have known back then?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think understanding of the culture before getting involved would have been helpful. I'll be honest, like it's kind of like jumping in the deep end of the pool. I didn't really know what I was getting into until I got in there. But you know, with that said, I mean, you know, obviously the first responder culture is different, and yet they're the same. You know, they're people with families and concerns, and you know, they process emotions the same way we do. It's just that they experience so many more, you know, traumatic scenes, and you know, that they may come across as a little bit, you know, tough or gruff on the outside, and yet they've got those same emotions still deep down within. And I think, you know, that might have been helpful to know at first, because sometimes when I, you know, when I first arrived, there may have been a little sense of, you know, maybe not being as kind or as friendly as I thought they might have been to me, but recognizing that wasn't anything personal, that's just kind of the way that, you know, some of the first responders are made, and that once you begin to peel away some of those layers, you know, they're like you and me. Mm-hmm. Really have those emotions and feelings that need to be processed, you know, because if they don't, you know, that's when trouble happens, because then you put too much into the pot and eventually it boils over, you know?
So do they clean up their language when you walk in the room?
You know, I'll be honest. I think I will have arrived the day that someone swears in front of me and doesn't say, "Ooh, sorry, chaplain, I didn't mean to say that." But I'll be honest, they're much looser than they used to be. You know, the conversations are a lot more free flowing than they might have been when I first started. But there's still, I think there is still respect for the role. You know, which I appreciate. But at the end of the day, I want them to be able to be who they are and not feel like they have to put on a, you know, an air to be someone that they're not. So I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there.
Absolutely. So in your work, do you see the need to kind of grow what you do and have other people that bring other people up around you to create a team approach to, especially in the fire service?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's interesting you mentioned that, because just recently we brought on an assistant chaplain to help with the work that I've been doing. And I think that's a testament to the department's viewing of the importance of the work that I do. I think You know, and it's a woman, which I think is wonderful because, you know, being, you know, male and female in the fire service, I think she brings something to the table that I can't as a male, you know, and I think sometimes people are more comfortable talking to one person or another. But, you know, I also can't be everywhere at all times. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we all know that those emergency calls come at the most inopportune times. And, you know, as a volunteer myself, you know, with a job and a family, I can't always arrive at the scene when I need to be there. So to have someone else that can kind of do that work as well is really helpful. You know, and also to process some of the bigger scenes. I mean, sadly, here in town, we've had a number of tragic events, and, you know, having another person there who understands the role and who can help to, you know, triage some of the emotion or the feelings that are going on is really helpful. So yeah, she's been a great addition. And as I said, with the state police, there's a number of us. So if it happens to be a, you know, a particularly challenging scene, we'll reach out and, you know, call in another chaplain or two, which is really helpful.
What are some of the practices that you do to kind of maintain your sense of wellness and well-being when facing some of these really, really difficult scenes?
Yeah. You know, I always say to people that, you know, everybody has to figure out what works for them. Right. Mm-hmm. I've always been, into being active and exercise. So that's where my mental health comes from. I'll be honest. I'm not a, it may sound funny as a minister, I'm not a sit down and, you know, meditate, pray kind of person. My mind and my body just works too quickly for that to happen. So I like to stay active. So I'm a runner. I start every day with, you know, a 4 or 5 mile run. So that's really my cleanse myself, work out whatever I need to work out time, just being out in the fresh air, you know, being in nature is really important to me. And I'm a hiker. Being up here in New England, we've got a lot of pretty good mountains up in New Hampshire. So my eldest son and I are working on climbing all the mountains over 4,000 feet up in New Hampshire. And I'll be honest, that's a reset moment for me when I get up into the mountains and, you know, find that space of clean air and just kind of look out over God's creation and see the vastness of the world. That for me is kind of my reset button where I say, okay, I'm coming back to a level space and, you know, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
what would you say to someone who's perhaps they're a fire chief, perhaps you're a leader in a fire service or a police department that doesn't have a chaplaincy service? What are some things they can do to kind of move in that direction to bring someone on board?
Yeah. You know, first, I think I would want to sit down and just explain kind of some of the benefits, because as I said earlier, there's some misconceptions about what a chaplain is. You know, we're not going to go try and convert the members of the department or the members of the public. And, you know, to really just say to them, you know, listen, we're here for the emotional and spiritual support of both the public as well as, you know, the members of the department. And, you know, that can happen in a number of ways. You know, if it's a particularly difficult scene, you know, I can go on scene and I can help a family member who may be watching a loved one, you know, experience a difficult medical event or something like that, to kind of pull them away, to try to get them to calm down, to enable the first responders to do the work that they're doing without having to also, you know, care for the loved one in the other room who's, you know, obviously concerned about their loved one. Or to say, you know, that I'm a resource to the department members as well. And, you know, a space where they can kind of work through some of their issues or someone that they can talk to as we're trying to keep them well so that they can do the best work that they do. You know, with that said, I would then say, you know, I think the best way to approach it is to look around your community. You know, there are, you know, there are houses of worship in most communities. You know, I think ministers have a unique skill set in that we're used to dealing with people who are grieving, who are, you know, going through difficult times, who are experiencing high emotions. So start there. And, you know, I would say really, really talk to the person and make sure they understand kind of what the role is that they're playing, because I don't think that this is a role for every minister. You know, some of the things I've seen and experiences I've had, I'm not sure everybody would want to. But for those for whom it works, I think it can be a really meaningful experience, both for the chaplain as well as for the department. And so, you know, I would say to, you know, have those conversations, meet the people in your community, and then bring them on as kind of a, you know, a probationary trial period, just to see how that works. See if they fit in with the culture. Talk to the department members and find out if they're kind of meshing with you know, the membership of the department, and if this feels like it's a good fit.
Mm-hmm. So did seminary prepare you for this?
No, I'll be honest with you. You know, seminary prepared me for very little that I do in my daily life. You know, I was a part of my seminary training was I worked as a chaplain in a hospital. And I think the entire time that I was there, I think it was a 10-week program. I think I had maybe one real critical case that I had to deal with. You know, if you had told me then, which of course at that point freaked me out, and I didn't think I would be able to handle the emotion of the experience. So if you had told me fast forward 20 years later and that this would be the work that I was doing, where I was dealing with people in crisis all the time and in emotions of really high, you know, experiences of really high emotion and anxiety and such, I don't think I ever would have believed it. But like I said earlier, it really has kind of sparked something inside of me. I have a real passion for the first responder community because, you know, they're doing hard work and, you know, they need, I think, the care and the support that, you know, as a chaplain, I can offer. And if, you know, if they're members of my community, like I said, many of them are volunteers on the fire service. If they're volunteering their time, if I can, you know, volunteer some of my time to support them, it's something that I'm very happy to do.
What would you recommend or say to perhaps other members of the clergy in communities around the country? What would you say to them if perhaps they're curious about this idea?
Yeah, no, I would say the same thing that I would say to the chiefs. I would say, you know, talk to your local fire department or your local police department. You know, here in Connecticut, we're a resident trooper town, so we work with the state police. We don't have a local police department. So, you know, obviously in this town, it was the state police, but we have a local fire department. And, you know, I would imagine that many towns do, you know, have their own police and or fire department. So I would say, you know, get to know the chief or get to know the lieutenant or whoever the case may be. And really just sit down and say, you know, I have this skill set. I'm wondering if this might be beneficial to you. You know, ask if they have ever had a chaplain before, if it's something that they're interested in learning more about. And then, you know, kind of take it one step from there and create that relationship. It's a position that's all based on relationship. It really is. And trust. And if you can begin to forge that relationship, I think in time, you know, the departments will realize that it's a beneficial position to have.
So would you, going back, looking back at your process over the last, you know, number of years that you were involved in this, is this something that you would do all over again?
I would. In fact, I think had I known what I know now, I probably would have started earlier. I'll be honest. I think in some ways this has given me a kind of a new energy to the ministry that I do, the work that I do. You know, a lot of the work that I do in the church is, you know, similar each week. I'm preparing services. I'm dealing with families who are, you know, are losing loved ones or going to meetings or working, you know, on initiatives in the community, those kind of things. And while those are important and good, this adds a different element of intensity, as I said, allows me to use a skill set that I guess I didn't really realize that I had until I began to use it. But really has opened up something inside of me that I have a real passion for. So had I known what I know now, I probably would have, you know, tried to do this maybe 5 or 10 years earlier than I did. But with that said, I don't know. Maybe I needed that life experience to get to the point where I was able to serve in this way. And maybe the you know, everything aligned, you know, in such a way that I was able to use that skill set once I had finally, you know, come to understand what that was.
So, so in closing here, if you could speak toward the first responders, what would you say to them right now?
You know, I would say, you know, that there's a whole community of people out there that, you know, appreciate the work that you're doing, that care about you, and more than that, care about your emotional, spiritual, physical well-being. And that there are a number of us that maybe, you know, first responders don't know that would be glad to offer what support we can in trying to, you know, offer that, you know, emotional, spiritual support, as I said, and that, you know, even if we're not, you know, on scene with you, that, you know, if you're a praying person, you know, many of us are praying for them and, you know, wishing them well and, you know, offering what support we can from the sidelines, even if we're not out in the field with them. And I think in this day and age where I know that there's a lot of mixed emotions towards first responders, there are a lot of us who really support, who really care about them, who really appreciate the work that they're doing. And that, you know, I would venture to guess that even if there's not a chaplain in your town, if you, you know, went up to the local clergy person and said, hey, can we get a cup of coffee? I'd love to just kind of sit down and chat. I'd have a hard time thinking that they would say no and not be there to support. So, I hope that they hear that and hope that they hear that there's a whole network out there that really cares about them and supports them.
Awesome. So final question, where's your favorite place to hike?
Oh, so New Hampshire. So as I mentioned earlier, my oldest son and I, there are 48 mountains that are over 4,000 feet tall. Wow. In New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And so my oldest son and I have been working away at that list. We're 7 away from hitting all 48. Oh, wow. So we're working on that, hoping to probably finish that this summer. He's off at college right now, so it's mm-hmm. a little hard to hike right now, but hopefully this summer when he comes back, we'll get that done. But any of those big mountains in New Hampshire, once you get above tree line, the trees stop and it's just, you know, you above and able to see for, you know, as many miles as the sky allows, that's my happy place. That's where I want to be.
That's awesome. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for taking time today. Thanks for the work that you do. Thank you for taking care of your community and the first responders there. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Conrad. And I appreciate the work that you do. I've listened to many of these podcasts and you do great work. So thanks for doing what you do for the first responders and, you know, keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeffrey, for spending time with me today on the podcast. And thanks to all of you who have taken time to listen and to watch, and especially those of you who have left a review. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And if you haven't, please do so. I want to be sure I'm bringing content to you that you want to hear, and your reviews help and make a difference. And remember, you are not alone. If you need someone to talk to and don't know where you can turn, you can always dial 988 for help. Be sure to tune in next week for another interview with an amazing first responder leader. And until then, be well, take care of yourself and those around you, and go out and do something great in the world.